I bet you'll read John 11 differently now, huh? That's the Jesus we are to encounter in our daily lives. I'm going to speak very frankly about a couple of things. We have declawed the Lion of Judah. We have declawed Jesus. We have put him into a box. Church has not done a good thing for the Jesus story. And we have took it hook, line, and sinker. The enemy has done a number. Somebody said to me a few weeks ago, he said, the enemy has done a number on the church. He has put God's people into warehouses on a Sunday. And that hit hard. That hit hard. We are to walk that magical experience every day of our lives. Listen to what John says. So that's one of the guys scribbling. It's so funny. They do it so well, is John. 1 John 1 says this. Mal, if you can put it up for me. And this is from the Message, because I think they capture it beautifully. It says, from the very first day we were there, taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you, in most sober prose, that what we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and the Son, Jesus. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this. Your joy will double our joy. So what John is saying is simple. What we saw, you get to see. What we experienced, you get to experience. This Jesus that we saw, you get to behold him. Folks, there is so much more we have to experience of Jesus. And our challenge is to take off our grave clothes and walk into the life that Jesus has paid for. There is so much more. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says this. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus. How's your partnership going? Like, if I'm honest, my partnership with Jesus, I'm like, I've took some things hook, line, and sinker from a church point of view. Right? I've took it. Hook, line, and sinker. Two-dimensional Jesus. Ephesians 3, Paul says this. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything on heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. We are to live in this very powerful relationship and experience with Jesus. It is to go from glory to glory. And dare I say it, Jesus even said, you'll do greater things than I did. And we've chickened out. Or we've took the route of, I'm comfortable on a Sunday. I'm comfortable. I don't need that. I don't need it. And no, I'm saying, the church. I'm talking about the church. You can talk. I'm not. Listen, the enemy has even done number on denominations. Do you know what I mean? Like the fact that we have denominations. What's that about? Right? Like seriously. So here's my question to us. What are you a part of? Is it an ideology? A religion? A denomination? Somebody asked me in work the other day, and I really checked myself. It was about 2 weeks ago. And they said, what do you do on the weekends? Whoa, this is an opportunity. And I said, well, Saturday's kind of rest as best we can, you know, a bit of play, a bit of swimming with Hannah, bring her there, etc. And then a bit of chill, etc. And then on Sundays, I go to church. I just caught myself. They just said, oh, really? What faith or what religion? I said, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, what kind of Christian? Pentecostal. Oh, I wanted a sick bag. Because I had an opportunity to say, I follow Jesus. I know Jesus. That is the offer of the gospel. To know the King of Kings. To yada. That's the word. Yada. Go home and look that up. Because God says it a lot in scripture. I want you to yada me. And there's a sense of what yada is I know his face. I can trace it off by heart. Because he can chase your face off by heart. Jesus didn't come for religion, folks. He honestly came so that you will be taken from the kingdom of darkness and so that we would complete his story. Remove the kingdom of darkness from this earth. That one day we will experience Eden again. From one garden to the other. That's his plan. To bring us back to Eden. And it's going to be phenomenal. And he wants it for everybody. Like it's going to be pretty phenomenal. So again, this is the danger of the world right now that we're in. The world doesn't need another ideology. It doesn't need another religion. It desperately needs Jesus. It's in dire, dire need. And how is that going to manifest? It's so funny how Jesus does this. He's going to do it by you talking to neighbors. Because I'm telling you now, you may not like this, but he is going to turn this world upside down. It's written in scripture. I don't know whether it's going to be in our lifetime or not. I don't know. But you can see it in front of your eyes. This world is going to be turned upside down. And why? Because he's merciful. He's going to turn idols on their head. So people's idols will be shaken. Why? So that they can turn to him. And who are they going to turn to? They're going to turn to his followers. His disciples. His fellowship. His partners, as 1 Corinthians says, people are going to turn to us and go, what is going on in this world? Why have you got some semblance of something going on? And our response is, let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me talk to you about this. Let me just talk to you about this king that I know. The temptation will be, come to church on Sunday and we'll tell you all about it. Which is phenomenal in itself, right? But Jesus wants you, like living Psalm 91, like literally the living embodiment of Psalm 91 right now. Take refuge in me. I'm your refuge. So when people turn around and go, wow, what is it with you? You go, I take refuge in the living King. I know him. I yada him. Now you probably won't say those words, right? Because you'll probably look like a weirdo. But you'll go, look, I have Jesus. I have this living God inside me who I love. And I don't have it all together, but the bits you think I have it together, it's him. It's not me. It's not me. Some of the statements that Jesus said in Scripture really pushes us to experience him deeper, not from a religious context, But I've been pressed into what Jesus has been saying in Scripture. Listen to some of the words. Even his followers were like, what are you talking about? I am the bread of life. I don't think he's using that metaphorically. I think he's like, listen, for you to stay alive, you've got to come from me for sustenance. I am the sustainer of your life. You need this. You need me more than bread, physical bread. That's what he's saying here. You need me more than what you eat during the day. You need me more than oxygen. That's what I think he's saying here. And in that, it's like, Jesus, I'm not experiencing you like that. And that's okay, because you're meant to. You have the Spirit of the living God living inside you. And honestly, we've done a number. I don't think the enemy's too concerned about church. I really don't. I think he has a lot of churches where he wants them. I'm not worried. Not worried. But he fears the person alive to God. He really does. That's why there's such a number. He tries, but you know the attacks that you're under. You know it. You've walked it. Because he knows, as St. Augustine said, the glory of God is man fully alive. And fully alive to God. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Somebody says a few weeks ago to me and to Tom, I was just taken aback. Absolutely. He goes, wow, the light coming off you two. I was like, jeez, I feel a wreck. You knew what was in my mind here. I don't want to be here in the first place. But he goes, the light coming off you. I'm like, what? It's Jesus. I am the gate. And he is. It's the only way. I am the good shepherd. And in these statements, folks, you are meant to be experiencing these things. I am the gate. I will protect you. I'm come and abide in me. I'm the gate. I am the good shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He's not in silence. John 7 is very clear on that. The sheep hear my voice. So you know a shepherd's, hey, don't do it, don't you dare. You know, like we're meant to feel his correction, to feel his staff. If anyone comes near us, we're meant to feel his presence pushing back when we call upon the shepherd. But how often do we even think about him as our good shepherd? And say, yeah, I'm to experience you. And the beauty about this, folks, honestly, you don't have to conjure up anything. You say, Jesus, I'm just saying what you said. You are my good shepherd. Jesus, shepherd me today. Shepherd my heart, shepherd my thoughts, shepherd my very being, shepherd my family. This is to be experiential, not just two-dimensional. This is why there's a real danger in knowledge rather than experience. I've noticed, and I can speak to this because I know exactly where my heart goes. I want to know the scripture more. But why? To know the author? Or for Bernard to look good? Haha, big difference. I want to know the author. And I flip things on my head now. I won't read anything until I go, Holy Spirit, can you? I'm going to read this. But it is dead words until you come alive, like you make it alive to me. Every book that I read, even now, totally changed my dynamic to go, these are just... And honestly, I've read books and I couldn't tell you at one page of them. Tons of books. Oh, you read them? Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've read them books. Couldn't tell you a word of them. Because I was wrong... What I want them for. And there is a danger in Christendom at the moment that we want to read a book without knowing the author. There's a serious danger. Because the enemy knows the book. I am the resurrection and the life. We are to live in a resurrection power. It says in scripture that we are to have the same power in us, living in us, that brought Jesus back to life. Now just imagine the power in a defibrillator, right? Just think of a defibrillator. We are meant to have it. It was a wow, I'm alive, and to see things differently. It's funny, when you hear people's experience, or when they experience the Lord, when they've been born again, they're like, oh, that colour's different. I can see that. You heard it with Kevin's recently, Kevin's testimony. Oh, I see greens differently. Those flowers weren't there before, but they were. They're starting to use their eyes for the first time. And that resurrection power is to be in us. Not just a once-off, folks, but a constant in us. We'll get to a few other things now in a sec, actually. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the true vine. And then an implied statement of Jesus saying, I'm living water, is in John 4, where he talks to the woman at the well. Oh, if you only knew what I was offering was living water. He is living water. And we are to experience this because we are alive in Christ. Our spirit has been made alive. We have been taken from a dungeon and a grave that was in the kingdom of darkness and been brought to the kingdom of light. This is an experiential thing, folks. This, like, when you read this stuff with this light going, oh, things are meant to be a little bit different here. We are meant to be different. A few years ago, I did a fair bit of coaching of football, and some things really, really annoyed the pants off me. It was when some of the footballers were so brilliant, but they were lazy. Like, you know, you see potential in them, and you're like, God almighty, I'd love to have your talent. I'm convinced that's the way the angels look at us. God, you have Jesus living in you, and you're, what? And you're allowing the enemy to do that to you? You're going back to old cisterns? And I'm convinced that the angels are looking going, oh my goodness, can you just read some of the promises in Scripture about you? You're going to rule with them at the end of the age? You don't have to hang on to that sin? That old man is dead to sin and you're alive to Christ? Get this one. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. How many of you, how many of us are going, I'm seated at the right hand of the Father? You can pray his will onto earth? How many of us are still going, I beg of you, Lord, I beg of you, Lord? Right? There is a battle that is waging on this earth, and you have to see it. You have to see it. Not just for the lost, but it's for us, kingdom people. Your calling is under attack from the enemy, because the enemy doesn't want you to step into your full calling. Why would he? Look what happens when people step into their full calling. Look what happens. The kingdom bursts out. Boof! Faith, healing, signs and wonders. Somebody asked Dallas Willard once, why do you think we don't see signs and wonders? Do you think that people don't have enough faith? Expecting a huge, you know, soliloquy and, maybe not. And Dallas Willard just went, yeah, maybe. Yeah. And behind that, I think, seeing some of the other stuff that he's written, we've forgotten who we are in Christ. We're not following the promises in Christ. We take a two-dimensional Jesus. And we don't take those promises for real. Now, the beauty about this is, do you know how the sun gives vitamin D to you? Do you know how it works? I don't. I just know it's good for me, right? Do you have to know how it works? Nope. I don't know how I am when I'm praying that I can be seated at the right hand of the Father. Do I need to know how it works? Nope. But that's the issue. I'm looking for knowledge around it sometimes. I'm looking for, how does that work? I want to know, how does it work? I want to know, when the ins and outs, on the whole process, how does it work? Do I need to know how it works that Jesus is living in me? Or can I just believe it? Who gets the biggest buzz? The person who just believes in a childlike faith in the Lord, and then all of a sudden it stuff is magically happening. Or the person that needs faith needs it, and looks more proof. Yeah, I got proof yesterday, need more proof. Who's living in a most magical relationship with the Lord? The one who is like, I don't have to know everything. I just know you are amazing. That you're living. That I'm alive to you. But what is it about us that we go, can I have more proof, please? Yep, yesterday's manna, thanks a million. And we use that term of, for more proof rather than experience. There's a difference, and there's a danger there of looking for more proof rather than experience. So don't change the word proof for experience. Oh, my goodness, does he want to give us more? Living water, a fountain of living water. You don't have to know how it works. Are you born again? Yep. You're a fountain of living water. All right, Jesus, how's this work? Let's go. Let's get it on. I'm a fountain of living water. I don't have to know how it works, Jesus. Use me. I'm a fountain of living water. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay. Lord, I ascend right now to heavenly places. I know how this works, but I'm calling down your will on earth. Do I have to feel that I'm in heaven? How many of us feel? But there's some things that will reawaken the, and I use this term carefully, and I want to make sure I get it right, the re-enchantment of what's happening. Do you know Elisha? Remember Elisha and his pal? Elisha, what's happening? They're going to kill us. Would you come here, Jess? Lord, open his eyes to see what's really going on. Boom, chariots of fire on the hills. Oh. But imagine, Elijah didn't have to see it. Elisha just knew. Now he goes, look, I know this here. Imagine if we walked that out. I know. I just know. I don't have to, Lord, you don't have to give me proof. I know I'm going to stand in their promises that I'm in heavenly places and I'm a child of God, an heir to your kingdom. You've called me son and daughter. I'm standing in the promises. The last few weeks I've had some serious fear issues. Not too serious, but serious enough for me. For me. Serious fear issues around fearing for Hannah's future. Right? You look at the world and you go, flip. And a few different words than that I have to say, right? God can handle you, he has big shoulders. I go, oh Lord. And he's like, hold on a minute. And he brought me to Isaiah 44 and Deuteronomy 36. Talking about promises of descendants, and he says, that's where I want you to stay. You don't have to figure it out. Just stand in the promises. End the story. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have to figure it out. And I think that's where the experience comes. Like, imagine we lived with 3, 4, 5, 6 dimensional Jesus, right? Rather than the 2-dimensional Jesus that we've made really comfortable. There's a great scene in Narnia, a super scene, where the kids are in the dam with the beavers and they're talking about Aslan. They're like, who's Aslan? What do you mean you don't know who Aslan is? He's the lion, he's the king of the whole world. Is he dangerous? Is he dangerous? He's a lion, but he's good, I tell you. Our God. And that's what we're to experience. So, how do we do this? Let me read out something. What we call Christianity is an invasion. The kingdom of God is advancing into the kingdom of darkness, a campaign to ransom people and the earth God intended us to rule. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what is lost. All that was lost. If Christianity seems to you to be having rather less than remarkable impact on the earth, it is because too many Christians have this idea that we're in a waiting game. That we are basically killing time until Jesus comes back and we all get to go to heaven. We're sitting around like people waiting to catch a flight. That is not what Jesus told us to do. He didn't say, Now hold tight in those pews and tiddle your holy tongues. I'll be back soon as I can. He said, as the Father has sent me, I send you. Let that sink in for a moment. Your orders have been given. Ooh. I'll put that down. Somebody, if anyone wants to pick that up, you can pick it up later, because I won't be bringing it home. Eh? But that's what we are to experience, this incredible Jesus. How do we do this? Folks, can I tell you how Jesus is doing it with me? A few months ago, I was out in the back garden. And I was like, oh Jesus, I just want to be close to you right now. I want to feel your presence. And put on a bit of worship. And this is what I heard. Stop the worship. And I went, ooh. It wasn't real worship. It was worship songs. It was in my head. I was like, oh, I'm going to worship. I wasn't. I was going to do the garden. Like, stop the worship. Be still. Quiet your mind. Because what was I going to do? I was going to go out and think. So easy, isn't it? It is. It's easy. The monks have it right. I'm telling you now. I'm talking about the olden day monks. They have it right, lads. They sat and waited for the Lord to show up. And look, when you read some of their writings, you're like, oh, they experienced God. St. Patrick couldn't have written the way he did. No way. His life story was absolutely experiential with the Lord. You can't read his testimony without going, you know Jesus. And you experience the living God. Phenomenal. You read his breastplate. Oh, boy, oh boy, did he experience the living God. He was tearing down strongholds. Look what he did in Ireland. It was experiential with the Lord. We are called into that experience through intimacy with Jesus. We are to experience intimacy. And it's clear as anything for me now. I am to shut my brain down and let God work spirit to spirit, deep unto deep. And there's ways that I'm now doing that. There's actually an app that I'm, believe it or not, that helps me do that. Because I have to quiet this down. My brain goes 100 miles an hour. I could so easily go, right, I tell you what, I've got to read my scripture now. That's a good thing, don't get me wrong. But for me, I'm ticking a box. Okay, worship time. I can do it. I can sing songs till the cows come home. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord. And he's like, can I get in? Can I talk to you for a sec? Can I get in here for a moment? I'm not joking you. How this has changed how I've experienced the Lord and how I've read scripture by saying, hey, author of this, can I spend time with you? And where do you want to lead me today? Where do you want to go? At the moment, I'm in certain places in scripture. I would have gotten, you'd get stuff from scripture, right? Because your soul or your spirit is alive to God. You get stuff. But asking him first. We did a little challenge in our group the other night. Let's spend 10 minutes a day just listening. Be still. You can put on some music, no words. Put on some if you want, right? That's okay. But just be still. And we all went, oh, jeepers, this is going to be hard. That's the way God works. He's the reason why he says it in Psalm 49. Be still and know, Yada, I am God. We fill in the gaps, folks. Like, imagine, what would it be like if I turned around and said, for the next 10 minutes, we're just going to sit here and ask for the Lord. I guarantee you they'll be like, what is, and that's just a great litmus test to go, what we've done with Sundays, what we've done with God, what we've done with experiencing him. We've two-dimensionalized Jesus. Three songs, maybe four if we're lucky. Bit of a sermon. Send the kids out. This is meant to be a daily experiential thing with Jesus, not on a Sunday. So here's a bit of homework. We're going to pray now in a minute. I'm gonna challenge you. Get with God. Put a bit of instrumental music on. Trust me, your soul needs it. There's a reason why God made your soul to be a sieve. And there's a reason why God doesn't tell you your whole plan. The reason why God doesn't give you the whole plan is why? Have a guess why he doesn't give you the whole plan of your life. Because you'd go off and do it without him. You'd get off and you would. And he'd be like, thanks. All I want is intimacy with you. That's why he does it. Because you're made. Your soul is a sieve to be filled with him constantly. And the world constantly is attacking that. Let's pray.